Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. I'll tell you what I've been working on. I've been working out of moving out of my house. That's what I've been working on. I'll tell you, that's a job. That is a job. That is a J-O-B. Moving is a job. Yeah, whether you have people coming to get your stuff and move it for you or not, or you have people coming in and packing all your stuff, it's still a job. You're still engaged. You are absolutely engaged in the business of your household. And that's what we've been doing over the last weekend, because we're harvesting money out of our principal residence so that we can repurpose that money into apartment communities. Now, some people think I'm nuts. Some people think I've lost my mind. They do. They don't understand what I'm doing. First of all, they don't like the fact that I'm taking money out of my house and not putting it back into the next house. Yeah, they don't like that. Now, why do you think that is? Well, I think it's because they were taught certain information somewhere along the line in their life, and they were taught that you have to have equity in your house. Now, why is that so important? Why is it so important to have equity in your principal residence? Well, if you're the lender, on that property, you're going to sleep a lot better if the actual owner, the person that's actually on the deed, has at least 20% equity in the property. So why do you think lenders want that? It's so they can be risk averse. Yeah, I mean, it's risk management. There's no other way to describe that. It is all about risk management, because they know if an individual screws up and stops making their payments, and, you know, we get past this mess that the government is creating for us with the inability to remove people from properties that aren't doing the right thing. Okay, I don't even want to go there. I'll tell you what, I don't even want to go talk about the eviction moratorium thing, because all the government's doing is kicking the can down the road. But what I'm talking about is the risk management piece. So if you have 20% equity in your home, your lender loves that. They absolutely love that, because that gives them a cushion in case you don't do what you're supposed to do, and they have to help you leave the house. And maybe they have to pursue some legal remedies to do that. They're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine, because there is going to be enough of a delta, if you will. All you engineers know exactly what I'm talking about. There's going to be enough of a buffer there that lender is going to come out okay. Yeah, they can dispose of that property. They can sell it on the secondary market. They don't care if they sell it for full market value or not. They just want it to go away so that their note gets cured. Because lenders have no interest in owning real estate. Yeah, I mean, when you look at a lender's balance sheet, physical property actually shows up on the liability side for them. I know, it's weird, huh? It's totally weird. Yeah, because the asset that they're offering to the general world is the money. It's the loan. It's the note. That's the asset that the lenders are selling. So risk management, it's kind of an important thing. It is an important thing. It's one of the reasons why I don't think you should just go out and invest in single family houses that are brand new construction, brand new, all built, nothing wrong with them, right? Don't have to rehab them, right? Okay. You'll pay full retail value for them. because there really is no incentive for the builder, especially in today's markets. There is no incentive for the builder to discount the pricing for you. It doesn't do anything for them, so they won't do it. They don't need to. So you're going to pay full retail, and then you're going to add on the costs associated with the transaction. That's right. You're technically going to be a little bit upside down when you close escrow after you take into account all the money that you put into the deal. Now, if that particular deal can cash flow for you, you're doing great. And keep in mind, you still put 20% down on that property. So the lender is cool with that. The lender's totally cool with that. But what if I told you that there's a way that you could actually buy property at wholesale pricing, renovate that property? That's right, fix it all up. Now, you're not going to do the work. You're going to have competent, capable people do the work for you because that's their skill set, that's their trade, that's what they do. And once you fix that property up, you're going to find a great person to live in that property, to sign a one-year lease and pay you fair market rents. And they're going to be happy to do that because you will have provided them the nicest property in the marketplace, because that's how we roll. That's totally how we roll. Oh, and here's the other thing. You're going to do something called capturing equity in the property. See, what's going to happen is, even though you bought this distressed property at wholesale pricing and you put some money into that property, but it wasn't all your money. You used somebody else's money and leveraged the fact that they have money that they're willing to loan you so that you're not using all of your cash resources. And then when everything is done, when your general contractor puts a neat little bow on that property and you've got that lease in place, you're going to do another escrow, you're going to cure the hard money loan, you're going to put long-term financing on, and you're still going to be at wholesale pricing. It's a cool thing. It's a very cool thing. So why would you do the other thing when there's a much better way? When we come back from the break, we're going to get into capturing equity and why it's so darn important.
The other thing, I think people hear landlord or property owner and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do you do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. Equity capture. It's got a ring to it, doesn't it? It does. It has a ring to it. Let me say it again. Equity capture. Okay, maybe it's not superhero ring, but I'll tell you what, when you capture equity in any piece of real estate that you acquire, it's a really good thing. It's a very good thing. The lenders have no interest in the equity portion of a property. They really don't. They want to make sure that you've got your equity portion. Oh, yeah, they care about that. They want to make sure they're probably not in for more than 80% loan to value. if they're willing to go to a higher loan to value, like maybe 85 or 90 or maybe 95% loan to value, you know what they do? They charge you something called MIP, mortgage insurance premium. That's right. So in exchange for you putting less money down on a property, you also pick up an additional cost for that property in the form of an insurance premium that pretty much takes care of the lender, so that if for some reason they need to foreclose on you because you did something terribly wrong, or I don't know, the market just went sideways all of a sudden, they're going to be protected. They're totally going to be protected. So that little space, that little equity space, is where we like to play. And we play very effectively in that little space. And you're wondering, okay, what are you talking about now? Okay, let's just get into it. One of the things that I require, and it's I use the word require because it's a must-do thing. If a property will not pencil out to where I get to control some of that equity and my costs associated with acquisition and renovation don't exceed the total value of the property, that's equity that I've captured in the deal. So let me just give you a, here, let's just go easy math because it's Monday. $100,000 house. A lender will normally loan up to possibly 80% on an investment property, and they want you to come in with $20,000 down. That's your equity contribution. The lender doesn't care if you actually put less money into the deal. What they care about is the what they call the ARV, or the after repair value. In other words, when you fix this thing all up, that's what that property is worth in that particular neighborhood. So when you capture equity, instead of dropping 20 grand of your money into the deal, you drop less money into the deal because the lender is protected based on the appraisal that was done to validate that fair market value is where it's supposed to be on the completed project. And if you're really good at what we do, your goal is to use as little money as possible to fill in that equity. Yeah, it is totally possible for you to actually put $0 into that equity. It is totally possible. And you're probably scratching your head going, dude, the math doesn't make sense. You can't have like an empty space there. Well, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You totally can. Let me just break down some of the math for you. Let me give you an idea of two modalities of investment. Now, when I started the show, I said some people think that the way to go to buy investment property is to go buy something that is either brand new or maybe something that's already been totally rehabbed. Maybe somebody is flipping a property. Maybe they went through the entire system of the house and they fixed everything up like we would do as real estate investors. But instead of holding that asset, they decide to sell it. And when they decide to sell it, they're just indicating that they're not real estate investors. They're real estate dealers or flippers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you buy investment property and you pay full retail price, you're going to be a little bit upside down once you take possession of that property. You will be. And you will have your 20% equity in cash into that deal. Your cash will be in that deal. Let me explain to you. Here's a new home property. Now, from time to time, builders will communicate with us at Lifestyles Unlimited, and they'll indicate that for whatever reason, they're interested in selling us property. And we usually tell them, that's fine and dandy. That's not how we normally buy property, but I will give you the, here's the big but. Sometimes if you're coming out of a 1031 exchange, it's a little bit easier to go get something retail. And it's okay to do that. It is okay to do that. And here's why. Because when you do that 1031 exchange, you are protecting all of the taxable gains on that property when you dispose of it. So instead of paying those taxable gains to the IRS, you're allowed to retain them. Now, that tax liability does go on to the follow-on property or properties, depending on what you're doing. But it gives you 100% of your purchasing power. Very important. Very important. So this is one of the reasons why, from time to time, properties will show up within the Lifestyles Unlimited community that are new build stuff. And usually what we're looking for are great properties that would complement our portfolios. That's probably the best way to say it. So there was a deal. Now, this deal has already come and gone, but I'm just using it for explanation purposes. The builder was willing to sell us a property at an ARV of $145,000. Okay, that's actually a good price point. It's kind of a good price point for where we want to be on our ARVs. You could buy the property for $140,000. He was willing to give us a $5,000 break on the price. And you're thinking, hey, that's a good deal right there. And you're only going to do technically one escrow, one transaction, because you're not utilizing hard money or anything like that. So there's no need to do a double escrow. So you're thinking, well, the costs of sale are less. If you're only doing one, it's got to be less, right? Well, not really. Because when you take a look at loan origination costs and any points that you choose to pay to buy down the interest rate, you're going to be a little bit upside down. So on this particular property, you're going to take $36,500 cash out of pocket. You're going to put it into the deal. And then you're going to sweeten it with an additional amount of money in the form of the closing and holding costs. And we're kind of looking at about $8,400, but you did get a $5,000 credit. So everything sounds good, right? Okay, we come back from the break, I'm going to burst your bubble. Stick around.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so let's just get right to the point. We're just going to get right to the point. The new home that I talked about in the last segment that you could buy for $140,000, that actually has an ARV of $145,000, will require you to put $36,500 down. That's going to be your 20% contribution. You're going to have some additional closing and holding costs because, well, you're not capturing any equity in this deal. You're paying full retail. And even though you're getting a $5,000 credit, you're still going to have to write an additional check for about $3,500. So when we do the math, you're putting $40,000 into this deal. Yeah, that's your cash out of pocket. Now, this particular property does cash flow pretty well. And it cash flows about $445 per month. So your annual cash flow on this property is going to work out to be over $5,000 per year. And you want some really good news? Most of that cash flow is going to be offset by the depreciation write-offs that you take on this property. So these are all some good things. But the big problem that we have with the scenario that I've been describing is you're not capturing any equity. Yeah. And capturing equity is really a good thing. It's a very good thing. And people have a tendency to go, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal because I've got equity in the property. Okay, let me bust that bubble. It is okay to have equity in the property that didn't cost you cash out of your pocket. Yeah, yeah, because that's what happens when properties appreciate naturally over time. You get equity without putting more money out of your pocket into the deal. Here's another rationale. If you're dropping $40,000 on a $145,000 property, you're putting a lot of money into the deal. I mean, you're basically putting 26% into the deal after all the costs are considered. So you have to take a look at what kind of cash on cash return you're getting. And your cash on cash turns out to be, it's almost 15%. So it's not terrible cash on cash. But again, we're still not capturing equity. So let's look 5 years out. Let's just assume this property just goes on cruise control. Everything is fine. The resident is happy. As a matter of fact, you found a resident that wants to live there for the whole 5 years. They've never had a problem with the property. As a matter of fact, they love the property. And at the end of 5 years, considering just natural appreciation, which is only about 3.5% per year, this property at the end of 5 years should have a future value of about $172,000. So it's going to go up in value. But your appreciation on this particular property turns out to be $27,000. That's the natural appreciation. Now remember, you didn't capture any equity in this deal. You bought all of your equity. So you're not going to get a benefit for buying the equity. At the end of 5 years, if you decide to sell this house, and we're not even going to talk about doing 1031 exchanges or anything like that, we just say, okay, we're just going to sell the house. You can sell that house, and when you take into account all the capital gains that were provided by that property over time and all of the cash flow, I mean, 5 years worth of cash flow turns out to be almost $27,000. That is nothing to sneeze at. 140% return on your investment. You heard me correctly, 140% return on investment. So that's not bad. It's not bad. I can't say that's a bad deal, but I can say this: it's not a great deal. It's not a great deal because you didn't capture any equity. You went what I consider the easy way. See, I think if you're in a position to acquire a property and you're not exchanging another property in order to get that follow-on property, I think you really need to be buying assets where you capture equity in the deal. So here's another property that actually came out last week. It's already been bought by a Lifestyles Unlimited member because my buddy Bruce bought it. And it's not a bad deal. As a matter of fact, this particular deal is priced a little bit higher. Yeah, it actually is. This is an older house. It was built in the 40s. So, okay, things were built in the 40s, have been around this planet for what, 70 plus years? Okay, so it's an older property. We don't know what the building standard was in the 40s when it was built. We kind of know what systems that were available to builders back then, you know, what type of materials that they utilized. And over a period of 70 years, I'm sure some of the stuff is worn out. You know, things like water heaters, well, they have a tendency to wear out over time. The roof has a tendency to wear out over time. Depending on what the soils are in the area where the house is located, you may have foundation issues. So there are things that could happen to a property over time that can cause it distress. Yeah. And there are people that will buy properties and hold them their entire lifetime and live in them and do minimal maintenance, if any at all, just basically keep the lights running, so to speak. And when it's time for them to dispose of that property is pretty worn out. It's pretty run down. That's where we come in. People like you and me, we go and get those properties. And then we fix them up. And instead of selling them like a flipper would do, we create a beautiful place for somebody to live that appreciates living there. And if we're doing it right, we're capturing equity. So here's this other deal that Bruce got. It is a property in the greater Houston area. Has an ARV of $218,500. Okay, so right there, we already know that we're dealing with a difference in valuation. Remember, the new home was $145,000. The builder was $5,000 as a price break. But still, you had to come in with $40,000 to do the deal. This particular deal, you're going to use a hard money lender. And you're going to take 70% of that after repair value. And you're going to put it to work for you. As a matter of fact, what you're going to do is you're going to take that hard money loan. You're going to close on the property. And then with the additional money that is left over in that loan, you'll start drawing that money out to pay your contractors as they get the work done. And then when that hard money runs out, okay, now it's time for you to start putting your money into the deal. That's not exactly how it all works out. I just simplified the process, all I did. So think about it. When it's all said and done, you're gonna have just slightly over $37,000 cash out of pocket. $37,000 cash out of pocket. So when we look at the two deals, and remember, the way we're describing this dilapidated property, the way we're buying it, there's actually going to be some additional closing costs than the other deal. But because we're keeping all of our costs contained within the wholesale realm of the value of this particular property, we're going to capture equity. Yeah, see, we're going to pay $161,000 for this property. That's what the seller wants, and that's what we'll pay. We're not going to toy around with that price. We're going to give the seller what they want and get them moving on with their life so that we can get moving on with that property. We're going to get our crews out there. They're going to do everything that needs to be done. They're going to make that place beautiful in accordance with what we told them to do. And when the dust all settles, we're going to capture, are you ready for it? A lot of equity. $21,000 in equity. It's a game changer. When we come back, I'll tell you why.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so here's where we're going. Is it better to buy a property that's all brand new, all fixed up? You don't have to mess with anything. You just have to buy it. That's all you have to do, and bring your wheelbarrow cash in, throw $40,000 into the deal, and then start producing some cash flow. Start producing about $445 a month. Or do you do it a different way? Do you go out and find that unloved property? That property that really one time was a great place, but now it's just kind of like, ugh. Do you go find that thing and restore its glory days and then put it back into service? Yeah, it's going to take a little work on your part. You're going to have to get your team to do some things for you. Yeah, you'll have to like think about it a little bit. But at the end of the day, you're going to capture over $21,000 in the deal. So all things constant. I hate that economics term. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But there are some constants in these two deals. So let's talk about the similarities. And then let's talk about what's not so similar. So at the end of the day, $40,000 out of pocket for the brand new build versus $37,000 out of pocket for the not brand new build. Okay. I mean, we're not talking a big difference in money. $3,000, right? Okay, so I think we can agree that you're going to put a substantial amount of money into the deal. Cash flow-wise, they're pretty equal. As a matter of fact, the brand new one, when I ran the numbers, it came at $445 a month in passive income, in cash flow for you. The rehab, that one came in at $441. So we're off by $4 a month. Okay? I think we could say the cash flow is pretty much the same. Deal-wise, both of these properties have the same potential to appreciate over time. They do. And historically, properties go up about 3.5% per year just through natural appreciation. So that's kind of the same too, right? Principal pay down. Principal pay down is something that happens when you pay your mortgage payment every month, and a part of that mortgage payment goes towards the interest cost, and a part of it goes towards the principal amount, thereby reducing the amount you owe. Those numbers are pretty darn similar too. Okay, well, maybe it's got to do with the value of the property. Maybe that's where we need to look, because this brand new property, it's worth $145,000. So if you take that as a base number and then you start calculating 3.5% growth per year, you're starting at $145,000. But this other property, oh, it's worth $218,500. Oh, so if we add 3.5% per year growth rate to that, which number is going to get bigger faster? You already know the answer. Okay, now it doesn't stop there, because on the new build, you started with technically negative $3,500 in equity. Yeah. But on this rehab that you did, you captured an additional $21,000 in equity. That means when you ran all of your rough costs, all of the costs associated with acquiring, rehabbing, doing two closings, and everything else that needs to be done, you're still capturing $21,000. And your actual price into this property, it's not $218,000. You're actually into the property at a base number of around $198,000. So all that additional equity, you're not paying for that. And right there is what I want you to capture. I want you to understand that you're developing equity in the property because you are buying it correctly. You got a lot of things going on, but it's not hard to manage. Trust me, it is not hard to manage, especially when you have the right people on your team. And then when all is said and done, that equity exists in that property and you never paid for it. And that is the concept of equity capture. It's getting equity in a property that you didn't buy. And that's why we do what we do. That's exactly why we do what we do. So on this rehab property, you're not going to put a resident in it immediately. No. As a matter of fact, on this particular property, I think the rehab costs were, I don't know, around $26,000, $27,000. So I'm thinking it's probably maybe a 4 to 6 week rehab. So let's go conservative and say, okay, 2 months. 2 months you'll go without a resident and you'll have carrying costs. And you're starting to think, wow, you know, all these costs are starting to add. But here's the point. They don't add up to 100% of the value. Unlike the brand new build. Everything adds up to 100% of value, owing a little bit more. Capturing equity is important. It's important because let's say something happened in your world and you had to dispose of that property immediately. There are things that happen in our lives which radically and immediately change the direction of what we're doing. And if you had to dispose of that property immediately, you still have $21,000 worth of equity to cover all the costs associated with disposing of that property. Now you've lost no money. Unlike the brand new one, where if you had to dispose of that property right away, well, you're already $3,500 over value. Now you're going to sell it and pay closing costs on top of that. You're going to lose money. Rule number one in Lifestyles Unlimited, never lose money. Now, what are the chances that, you know, you're going to do this rehab property and you're going to capture that $21,000 in equity and then all of a sudden you're going to have to sell it? What are the odds of that happening? I'm thinking slim and none. But what a great insurance policy if that had to happen. Here's the other thing. Let's talk about the long-term returns. Remember, the new build, it started at $145,000 after repair value. That's what it was appraised for. At the end of 5 years, if you dispose of that property, just using this the same math that I've been using the entire episode, 140% return on your investment. Now, if we go to this rehab, first of all, because your ARV is higher, that's about, what, 70-some-odd thousand dollars higher on the rehab. With the same appreciation rates, you're just going to get a bigger number. That's just the way you started bigger, so you're going to get bigger faster. That's just the way it is. 203% return on your investment. 203%. So that's the difference right there between these two properties. The difference between these two properties over a five-year period is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's the difference between having what we call a net gain. In other words, you take all the money that you acquired when you sold the property, and then you subtract the amount of money you actually put into the deal. That tells you how much money you physically made outside of the cash flow. Because remember, we said the cash flow was pretty much the same on both of these deals. You're going to put an additional $24,000 into your pocket on the new build. On the rehab, $49,000. $49,000. And that's a really good thing because that bigger number represents the $21,000 that you had already captured in the deal. So at the end of 5 years, the difference between these two deals is the fact that you either put $40,000 into the deal to grow it an additional $24,000, or you did it the way we will teach you how to do it, and you put $37,000 into the deal, and now you turned $37,000 into an additional $49,000. That's why equity capture is so important. It has an immediate effect on your profits. We are doing this to change our lives. That's why we do everything that we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you want to find out how we do it, we will show you. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Sign up for one of our workshops. We'll show you everything we do, and then we're going to get you started.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.